This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This video is sponsored by Voxy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of the Blues Focus podcast, where today I'm joined by three of the contenders, I guess, for the last relegation place. And it's going to be a nerve-jangling day, that's for sure. And today I'm joined by James, Sam and Ash. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Very nervous.
How was it a couple of weeks ago?
I imagine there's a lot of nerves about, and I suppose with everything that's now come to this point, there'll be all the calculations going on amongst the teams, figuring out who's doing what. And I guess this is a show to tell everybody about what each team's doing and what it looks like going into the final day. So the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to start with the team that I guess is closest to Birmingham in 2013 and work our way up the league. So we'll start with Sam from Argyle Life. Sam, tell me about Plymouth this season and what's been happening with you guys.
Very odd season of two parts, I think it would be fair to say. The first half of the season under Stephen Schumacher, we never really looked like getting sucked too far in. Don't get me wrong, we were never that high in the league. We were never any lower than about 15th, 14th, but we weren't at a healthy points gap, a much healthier one than we do now, put it that way. We were playing good football. We weren't doing very well away from home, but we were incredibly tough to beat at home. We got some fantastic wins at home, and even away we got some good draws and some very good performances. It all went badly wrong over Christmas. Stephen Schumacher left for Stoke City, took pretty much all the coaching staff with him, and record Luke Cundall, obviously signed him for Stoke as well. And a real big loss on the playing side, who went to Middlesbrough, was Finnazad, who was our top assist maker and got quite a few goals to his name as well. He was a really bad miss. We've pretty much all our creative spark without him is gone. Obviously, Morgan Whittaker's been the star man for us in the attacking sense. He's got, I think it's something crazy like 20 goals and I think about 9 assists, just pretty much dragging us to being just about on the right side of the line. But our format has been very poor. Ian Foster's manager for 3 months. That was a disaster. And then Neil Dewsnip, who was the director of football, who was instrumental, I think, in that appointment, is now the caretaker manager for what was the final 6 games of the season. 5 gone, 1 left.
Because I guess this season I was really excited about Plymouth to see what they could do, because it's been a while since you guys have been in the Championship, come up as League One champions, and a young, exciting manager in Stephen Schumacher, obviously departed for Stoke. But then obviously you look at some of the personnel that Plymouth have got as well, like the likes of Morgan Whittaker, who's been fantastic this season. And I suppose with Plymouth, like, what moments do you look at and go, those are the high moments of the season?
The high moment of the season, I think, was undoubtedly beating Norwich 6-2 under Schumacher, 4-0 up at half-time. We never even scored 6 in our 101 points season in League One, never mind in the Championship. I don't think it was in anybody's wildest dreams that we would have a season of scoring that many, of scoring that many goals. We beat Stoke, ironically, 2-1 with a last-minute goal that sent Home Park into raptures, and then our manager got poached by them about 2.5 weeks after that happened. In the post-Schumacher era, there have been summer highs. We got our first away win of the season under Ian Foster at Swansea. That was a very jubilant moment. And, of course, the big one recently under the caretaker manager, tenure of Neil Dewsnip. We beat Leicester 1-0 at home on the Friday night game under the lights a few weeks ago. The full-time scenes of jubilation after that game were pretty special. Just a shame about the two since at Stoke and Millwall. But, yeah, I'd say those four games are probably the four highlights I would give of any.
And you mentioned that game against Leicester, the 1-0 victory, which could prove so crucial, I guess, in this relegation battle. And I suppose with Home Park, that's something to mention, because Plymouth's record at Home Park last season was fantastic. And your guys' home record over a long period of time was fantastic as well. But that's one of the things that I guess this season's kind of fallen away. I guess, what would you put that down to? Is it personnel, manager changes, perhaps, you know, the current players not really getting into it? What would you put that down to?
Yeah, bit of both of those things. I think under Schumacher, we and then Neil Dewsnip's first caretaker spell in between Schumacher and Foster, we had a run of, I think it was about 3 months without a loss at home. A few draws in there, but quite a few wins as well. At Home Park, as I mentioned, was absolutely fantastic. When he got sold, we had to find a new way of playing attacking football without him. And obviously Ian Foster much preferred a more defensive style of football anyway. So we just weren't taking the game to teams. We weren't throwing quality players at them. We weren't making them a place, you know, to be frightened of going. And naturally that had a souring effect on the atmosphere, which obviously then creates a negative feedback loop, because a bad atmosphere makes the players nervous. Players nervous don't play well. Players playing well creates a bad atmosphere. So it's a bit of everything all meshed into one. The Home Park faithful had totally lost faith with Ian Foster by the end. There were quite a lot of chants aimed towards him, calling for him to be sacked at matches, which again, completely correct as it turned out, because he was a dreadful manager for us and he was quite rightly sacked, but all played into the negative vibes, negative mood, and home form, yeah. But up to that Leicester game, it's pretty much fell off a cliff.
And I suppose with all of our teams, our fan base have experienced a lot of negativity, perhaps wanting more from their team, whatever. And I suppose with Plymouth, like, when you obviously got promoted, the main goal for you guys, I imagine, would kind of just to be to stay in the league. So would staying in the league this season, after the season that you've had, be a success for the club?
So this is the weird thing. Yes, it's the short answer. To give a more complex answer, I think everybody said at the start of the season, you know what, we're going to have to get used to not winning every week. And if we stay up by like 1 point, it'll have been a good season. But now that we're actually in the situation where we are 1 point ahead of the line, yeah, it all feels like the sky's falling in a little bit. So I suppose that is a bit of a thing of perception against reality. The reality of it is a lot less nice than the perception of it. But I don't think it's just that. I don't think it's just, you know, not being able to put up with that tough reality. I think it is also how it's gone has been what's caused the frustration. And I'm sorry if this kind of interludes into future questions you might be about to ask later down the running order, but it is bad decision-making that's led us to where we are. Ian Foster was the wrong hire. Completely ripped up the DNA of what made us so good over the last few years of attacking, free-flowing football. I will give him some credit that Finnazad is very tough to replace, but I absolutely think Schumacher would have got more out of the group of players he did have. Poor recruitment in January. We brought in a load of England young players who Foster had managed in the FA, who weren't championship ready in most cases. And obviously then when we did sack Foster, Dewsnip as caretaker, yes, he did beat Leicester, but apart from that, there's been not a lot of positive signs, really. So I think there's been a lot of mistakes that have been made. So kind of, you know what, if we do set up, there'll be a bit of a feeling of, you know, yeah, you know what, we've gone away with one. It has been a good season overall, but I think there will still be serious questions to be asked about going forward. It won't be a, you know, we've stayed up, all is rosy in the garden, let's go out and get hammered and celebrate kind of thing. It'll be a bit of a, yes, it's relieving, but we need to look at, from the position we were in, we were sort of 8 or 9 points clear of the drop zone. How have we let ourselves fall into this position?
Thanks so much, Sam. I'll come back round to you, obviously, once you come back round. And you mentioned there about the fact that you guys were 8, 9 points clear of the drop zone. A team that's very much been in the drop zone the whole season and now look very likely to stay up is Sheffield Wednesday. So, Ash, obviously, we've been speaking a lot recently about both of our clubs' fortunes changing around. And I suppose for Sheffield Wednesday, wow, what a season.
Yeah, it's definitely been a season of two halves. or a quarter and three quarters. I mean, for Sheffield Wednesday, the start of the season, I mean, it couldn't have gone any worse. We had Cisco Munoz, who got a point in the summer after Darren Moore left, and it was just absolute abysmal appointment. At the time, even in the summer when he got appointed, I think there were. I think the owner has just looked at his CV and seen that he got Watford promoted. Everyone looks at Watford's team, that squad, like I said, I think either one of us could have managed them and they'd have gone up that championship season. It'd have been worse not doing it. But yeah, he came in the summer, and it's like I said, we try not to talk about him at all, because the 10 games that he took charge of was just abysmal. Really was. It was the worst start in championship history. So to be coming into the last game of the season in a position where we are, there's a lot of fans would never have thought of that, but we are. And basically it's just down to one man, Danny Rule. And it just a turnaround of the season that we've had under him has been immense. And it just shows obviously where we are in the table at the minute.
And Danny Rule's been so impressive, considering the fact that the championship, it can be such a ruthless division if you don't perhaps have the knowledge of the league and the country as well. And for someone that I believe is, what, 34 years old? Is that how old Danny Rule is?
He's 35 now. So he's the same age as our captain. Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. And, you know, he's got like experience coaching like in the Bayern Munich setup, the Germany setup, Leipzig setup. But obviously this is so different being the main man at a club. So in terms of like Danny Rule's tactics and that, what's impressed you the most about how he's transformed you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you've just looked on about his CV there, Bayern Munich, German national team, Leipzig, and then he's gone one step up and come to Sheffield Wednesday.
He's always going
exactly. Up the ladder.
In his Bayern Munich, but you've got Sheffield Wednesday.
That's going to be the top of his CV, that, especially if we finish above the line on Saturday afternoon. What I've been... I tell the first thing that's been really impressed me, and this is probably to the Wednesdayites as well, is that how much we were really in the doldrums. Look, 10 games, 2 points, absolutely no wins, no hope of a win, getting rid of it. And then he came in, Neil Thompson had one game, which we drew against Huddersfield at home. And then Danny Rule come in. He came on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, and we played Watford away. And just instantly the Wednesdayites took to him, the Sheffield Wednesday supporters. And yeah, he's an unknown. He had a few months at Southampton as a coach there, but real unknown to Wednesday fans. It was like, who is he? Doing all your Googling and all the Wikipedia looking at and all this. But for somebody who nobody's heard of, for Wednesday fans to really take to him, and I think that was one of the key things that really helped him push on. And then he started with the team. He started, look, we haven't got any money. Where we've got an owner, we all know, it's well documented about our owner, and we've all our teams have all got, our clubs have got ownership issues and things like that. So it, for him to make that decision of bringing Danny Rule in and then to work with the players that Cisco Munoz had, the exact same players, to start us before the January transfer, like just instill and a bit of work ethic. And the way he put it is a high press. He's played three at the back with two wing backs majority of the time. The pressing, the intensity that the players have shown has been remarkable. Really a different way of how he wants to play to the previous managers, even Darren Moore last season and Cisco Munoz. It was brilliant. And for him and for the players as well to be so down in the dumps. We all know what players can be like, can't they? If you lose the dressing room, that's it. So yeah. For him to turn them round, to get into a way of playing that probably 99% of these players have probably never played like before, and to keep at it and keep at it. Look, we've had some awful results, even under Danny Rule, but we've always managed to bounce back. And I think that's one of the biggest things for Danny Rule is, he forgets about the game. That's it. Saturday night, done. It's Sunday morning. We're there. We're gone. And it's just been... it's just been a success up to now. Because I'm not gonna go too thin because there's still, like I said, there's still a lot to play for.
And I suppose with Danny Rowe, like, you praise there massively for him, but I guess with like everybody else in the league having a 10-game head start, as you would, because of the start that Sheffield Wednesday had, the fact that you guys are in a situation is unbelievable. But Sheffield Wednesday have been in the relegation zone for most of the season. So I guess, what was the point, or what was the specific game that you actually thought that, okay, we might be able to stay up here?
For me, it would have to be Blackburn last week.
Wow, as recent as that?
It's just, we had Swansea at home and we drew 1-1, really on top of them. Then Stoke a couple of weeks ago, we were 1-0 up, cruising, and they came back and got an equaliser. So it's always been that, and we've been there in the bottom three. But it was it was a must-win game against Blackburn on the Sunday, and it went brilliantly. I mean, I know we scored early, and then, of course, Smodics equalised. But then I think after that, when we scored the second and the belief started coming in, and then... Because we've had a couple of chances to come out of the bottom three and failed. We went to Huddersfield and got smashed 4-0. I think we conceded 4 in the last 20 minutes of the game. And we've been really like just there. Or we've won. We had a great win at home. And then I think everybody won. Like Plymouth won, didn't they? At Leicester. Then Leeds lost, didn't they? Blackburn beat them 1-0. So then we went into the Stoke game and it's like we drew 1-1. So it's like every time we manage to get a point, everyone else gets points. So I think for me, it was Blackburn.
And there's just so many points being thrown about this season, just crazy results. And I agree completely with something that Liam Rossini said actually a couple of weeks ago, that I believe this is the hardest championship season ever, because there is just so much quality and so many good teams and individuals. And I suppose one of the good teams this season has been West Brom, yet Sheffield Wednesday, you guys beat them 3-0 last week. And I suppose what I want to ask you guys is that, what does a home crowd do in a scenario like that where you desperately need a win, the fans are completely behind you, and then you go and do that against a team that's in the playoffs?
For Sheffield Wednesday, it's everything. It's a 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th man. We've had probably three or four sellouts in the last couple of seasons, and everyone has meant everything to the players, to the fans, and we've got some great results. We've got some really good results when we've turned out. The players have turned out for us as a Wednesday fan at Hillsborough. Yeah, it's to get 33,000 plus. It's fantastic.
And the Sheffield Wednesday fans, from what I've seen on social media, have been fantastic in your guys' support and the numbers that you bring. You said to me, actually, Ash, about the amount of people you took to Ewood Park for your game against Blackburn, which is 7,000, which is unbelievable for an away end. And that leads me on, I guess, to James and your guys' situation with Blackburn. How would you assess Blackburn's season, James? Where to start?
Where do we start? I may as well start from the last summer. Our budget was slashed by 30%, I believe. JDT described it as a hand grenade going off. Offered his resignation in the summer. They said no. So we're going into the season and he's not wanting to be there. And for the record, I love JDT. Loved him. So we did all right for start of the season. Beat Birmingham 4-2 at home, which would really put us in the playoff picture. And I really thought we'd kick on at that point, but January was just an absolute shocker. And, you know, failed transfers, the not pressing send on a player, really laughable, really. Press conference gets cancelled the day after the transfer deadline day. We lose at home to QPR. JDT comes out in his press conference and just sets off another hand grenade. It was like a nuclear bomb, actually. Just went for it. He leaves. John Eustace comes in. Not totally convinced by John Eustace. He's tightened us up at the back for sure, but I'm just not convinced. And without Sammy Smodics, we'd be long gone. But then on the flip side, if we had a competent goalkeeper, then we might be far further up the table than we are now. So It's been up and down. It's been very demoralising. It's been horrible. I actually cannot wait for the season to end.
Mm. And I suppose for Blackburn, the situation with you guys is that you finished in a really high position last season, right on the edge of the playoff place. I think it went all the way to the final day, didn't it? You guys done your job on the final day, beating Millwall, but obviously other results went against you. And I suppose with Blackburn as well, the financial situation you're in, and as you mentioned there about the January transfer window, and I suppose one of the big losses for you guys was Adam Wharton, who's gone to Crystal Palace, and then all of a sudden the Premier League fans are on board with him and saying, oh my God, it's an unbelievable player. But I'm sure all the Championship fans were saying that years ago. And with the personnel at Blackburn this season, obviously Sammy Schmodic, you said it there, he's been phenomenal for you guys. Where do you see him sort of ending up next season? How much do you value him as well?
I'll be locking Sammy Schmodic in my basement and he won't be leaving. He will not be truthfully, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes to a Prem club, maybe like a Brentford or a Fulham. It's further down south towards where his family are. But he is, I run out of superlatives for him. This season he's been a freak of nature. And the fact that we can still go down with a Championship's Golden Boot winner says all about Blackburn, really. It's unimaginable, but it can realistically happen.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And a lot of the Blues fans this season, obviously the way we started the season so well with John Eustace in charge, now he's the Blackburn manager. And I'm sure a lot of Blues fans that are listening want to hear about Eustace and what he's done at Blackburn, because I guess face value, the record that he's got so far, I think it's 2 wins in 13 games, which hasn't, you know, set the world on fire, is he? And no. You said he's somewhat improved you defensively, but how would you rate Eustace's tenure so far in charge at Blackburn?
Very up and down. I mean, he has tightened us up defensively, and you know, that has helped. But we kind of lost a little bit of a spark up front, really. And I suppose the highlight of his reign so far is the 5-1 win at Sunderland. And 3 days later, we get battered 5-0 by Bristol City, and then we go and
that's the Championship for you.
Yeah, and then we beat. And then the highlight was we beat Leeds, and then we go and throw the game. No offense, Ash, we go and throw the game at away against Sheffield Wednesday due to Ainsley Pears' fresh air kick. We weren't at the races that day anyway, we didn't deserve to win, but that fresh air kick really just was something.
And it was prime Neuer the week before, weren't it?
Oh, Leeds.
Just saw you nod your head there, Ash, just like with delight. Like, yeah, good thing it happened to us.
In a nutshell, that pulls off an absolute blinder against Leeds and then does a howler against Sheffield again a week later. It's typical of him. Everyone wonders where we'd be without Schmodics, but I always wondered how further it would be without Ainsley Pears. Two sides of the coin, really.
Because with Ainsley Pears, I might be wrong here, but didn't Tony Mowbray bring him to Blackburn?
Yep, Tony Mowbray.
They gave him a 5-year contract, I think. Yeah. I can't believe when I saw it, I was like, wow, that is some deal there. And I suppose with Blackburn this season, with the situation you guys are in financially, what's it going to look like if Blackburn do get relegated next season? What's the turnover of players going to be like?
I don't know personally. My gut feeling is that if we go down, we will not come back up for a period for a good few years. I don't think we would survive that long. I think at least 3/4 of the squad would leave. Personally, I've actually really grown to dislike the squad this season, bar Schmodics. Just odd things that have happened over the season that really doesn't sit well with you. You know, obviously, get rid of our club captain to Ipswich, Lewis Travis. I think it was a game at home midweek where we were 0-0 with like a minute or two to go, and Dom Higham, who's our interim captain until Travis comes back, with all shouting to hoof up to the top of the pitch. He passes it sideways, turns around and tells the fans to calm down. It's just little bits like that, it really just doesn't set well with you. And you know, when we get beat really well. We lack a lot of leaders, I lack a lot of leadership. Carl McFadden's been a bit of a breath of fresh air. He's kind of a no-nonsense defender, but ideally we probably could have done with him from the start of the season.
I'm sure a lot of the Blues fans are thinking the same thing, actually, as what you said, James, about Blues, because I think for us this season it's been a lack of leadership and not really a likeable squad. I know that's like a bad thing to say, but I completely get where you're coming from in the fact that before when you have players that are perhaps a bit older, not worth as much like in the transfer market, but you just know that they give their all.
Yeah, and you know, Shmodics will run to the drops, and he's obviously been the standout player all season. But yeah, it's weird how much I've grown to dislike the squad, because it's 75% of it is the same as it was last season. Last season was the most entertaining season I've had in terms of the football we played, and we nearly got into the playoffs. So ideally, you think we push on a little bit. You know, we've gone backwards about 20 steps.
And I think the whole like backwards movement is something you could say for a lot of teams that have been in the relegation mix this season. Say, for instance, Stoke have got themselves out of it, but you look at how much money they spent in the transfer market, and to finish where they have, I'm sure they're disappointed. With QPR, obviously, they've been a team that's finished very high in the Championship in the past, but they've got financial problems, but they look to be on the rise now. And Millwall as well, having to call on Neil Harris to save them, someone that knows the club or whatever. And I suppose with all these different clubs, it's just been such a turbulent season, isn't it? With a changeover of managers, changeover of players. So what's it like sort of going to the games and that and experiencing them changes when you see them?
Well, from our perspective, our match day experience is absolutely pants. There's nothing really happening before the game. There's nothing really happening at half-time. There's nothing really happens at the end. You kind of just go, watch a game of football and come on. There's not a lot that's happening. So the atmosphere is very dim. I mean, what topped it off for me was the game against Sheffield Wednesday, where they brought 8,000, which I like it when there's a full. I like it when the away end's full. But for a game of that magnitude, I think it was a really stupid idea from our CEO to give them a full allocation, because, you know, even after the game, I think it was Vaux that said it was like a home game. Yeah. And, you know, that is, for me, that's unacceptable. Can't be having away place saying it's a home game.
That is crazy.
Not especially in a game of that magnitude as well.
Exactly. Yeah. If there was nothing to play for, I wouldn't be bothered. Because I, like I said before, I love it when an away end's full. I absolutely adore it. But, you know, I'd have liked to have seen a similar situation to what we gave Burnley last season. Yeah, I know they won the league at Ewood Park, and I never hear the end of it. But we only gave them 2,500 tickets. It kind of felt like it was in a level playing field, essentially. But yeah, the game against Sheffield Wednesday was really the icing on the cake.
And I'm going to loop back round now to Sam. I'm going to ask the same question to everybody, in the fact that what would it mean to Plymouth to stay in the Championship? Because for you guys, I think it's different to Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn, because Plymouth having been promoted last season, and I think with the other three clubs, it's been a while since they've been in League One. So for Plymouth, what would it mean to stay in the Championship and try and sustain that second division status?
It would mean absolutely everything to us. I absolutely love being in the Championship. I may not have loved certain bits about this season, and I may have called out certain decisions made on the executive level in appointment, recruitment and so on. But it is important to recognise that we don't have a budget competitive with anyone else in this league, apart from maybe Rotherham. And I think even they have a slightly bigger budget than us. We didn't have anything like a promotion budget last season when we got 101 points. That just shows what a great job Stubacker did. And having had our first season back in the Championship after 13 years out, it would be a little cruel to have it snatched back away so quickly. And I think whilst we would certainly have a better budget than last time, we wouldn't have probably won't have as good a manager as last time, and won't have such a healthy club culture as last time. So if we do go down, I don't think there's any guarantees we go back up. I think we would probably be around about the top six for sure, you know, barring fluke events. But I don't think we would necessarily go back up. And if we're in the playoffs, then you know only one of four teams will win them. So I don't think it's a given. Whereas, you know, with Birmingham, without wanting to flatter you too highly, with your owners and you know with the money you've got to spend, I think you would surely be looking at going straight back up. And I think probably, to a lesser extent, the same goes for Blackburn and Wednesday as well. I think with us, it would be a lot harder. So I think having 1 year would be huge, because if we have 1 year, obviously next year we all know that the new TV deal's coming in, and whilst it's not great for fans in terms of kickoff times, they're going to be all skew with, and we're going to be, you know, everywhere on Friday nights and Monday nights, it is good for the clubs in the sense that it gives that real financial security. It lets them invest more money into their squad. Then obviously if we were to go down after next season, we'd be going down in a lot more secure position after a year of the TV money, and in a better position to then become a more long-term sort of yo-yo club, or even better. So it would mean absolutely everything to have that one more year. I've loved, we don't want to be too emotional about it, I've kind of loved being on pods like this, you know, the fan media side of it in the Championship is far above League One. I've enjoyed, you know, Sky actually talking about us, knowing their stuff about us. It's just good to be in a bigger league and in such a great league, such an event. Like you say, the Championship could be one crazy result followed by an equally crazy result in the other direction. So it would mean absolutely everything to stay up. The selfish part of me is thinking, you know what, I'll let Ash out, because, you know, Wednesday in a little while, but I feel that one of you two should get to enjoy a League One tour just for a season or two. You enjoy getting 100 points and winning the league, and let us have one more year in the Championship, if you may.
Yeah, and obviously, Ash, you guys got promoted last season, but what I meant by, like, the fact that us guys are in the Championship is that Sheffield Wednesday are more familiar with that league as opposed to Plymouth, because I saw someone in the comments say that, oh yeah, it's been a while since Sheffield Wednesday have been in League One. Obviously, you guys were in there last season, yeah. So I just clear that up. But you're so right to bring up money, Sam, in the fact that it just means so much to clubs, doesn't it? Because then they can invest that in whatever. But I'm sure, Ash, in your situation with Sheffield Wednesday, where that money will go to is addressing some of the problems that Sheffield Wednesday have at the club, not so much on the pitch, but off the pitch with all the ownership chaos.
Yeah, I think for us, it is a money thing. If, like Sam says, the new TV deal, yes, I totally agree with him. It's not going to be too good for us supporters, the life.
Blurry red button on Sky Sports midweek.
Yeah, but it's going to be a bit of a shot in the arm for each club that qualifies, obviously stays in the Championship for next season. Yeah, for us, it would be to give Danny Rule whatever he wants. Yeah. That's what I want to say. It's going to be hard with the owner's been burnt a lot of times with paying ridiculous transfer fees for ridiculous players. And we've been suffering as fans ever since, trying to pay that debt back. He's always said that he's not putting money into the club. He's got these tax things that he's mentioned, and he's got X, Y, Z to pay, and it costs so many million a month for him to run the club. Probably the same for virtually every Championship team, this owner that's going on. So for us, at the minute, what James was saying about, just because it means that about his squad, and he's fell really out of love with the players of his squad, I've gone the opposite way. There's only probably one or two players in our whole 23, 24-man squad that I've really not got any feeling for, if I call it that. And for us to stay in this league, some of the players that we've brought in, I would love to stay. And this contract's running out, so obviously people have got to make decisions. Probably Saturday night they'll make a decision, you know, once it's all done and dusted. But for me, staying the league with the money, it just means that Danny Rule will hopefully keep some of the players that have really been outperforming what they should have done in the situation we're in. And for him to have a little bit of a crack at bringing in his own players, and because a lot of Sheffield Wednesday fans are going, right, he's got all these contacts, hopefully, he's got all these contacts in Germany with the teams we've mentioned and all the people he's worked under. And it's like, you just think that he could bring in a gem. Yeah, I would love a Smodics-type player that's going to get you 20, 25, 30 goals. But like you said, we can't afford to spend 20, 25 million on one. And I know Blackburn didn't, but do you know what I mean? Players like that are very rare. So hopefully the money, when we stay in the Championship after Saturday, that the money is distributed to Danny Rule and not to the club to pay debts. I want Danny Rule to have it.
And I wanted to actually follow up on one of the things you said about the fact that you like a lot of the players in your team, Ash. And do you think that's because of the status that Sheffield Wednesday have had this season, the fact that you guys were very much the underdogs, didn't expect much from this season, and I suppose by staying in the Championship and getting yourself out of trouble, you've actually exceeded the expectations at the club?
Yeah, I think so. I think even there were some players that in the very start of the season, obviously not performing for the manager, for the club, for whatever reason. It just shows you don't win any. If you don't win any matches in your first 10, there's something wrong in the dressing room. And it looks like, and it's a very big a tick that it was the previous manager and not the players, because the new regime that's come in, apart from three or four players he brought in January, are the same players. And for them to turn it around, and it just shows that, like I said before, it's they've took on what Danny Rule wants to do and believed it, and it, that they, them as a unit, have got us to where we are at the minute. And I think I like that. And there is a couple of players, there always is, that you go and say, I don't want them to play for my club again. They're useless. They've been a waster alone. They've been. There's only a couple like that for me at the minute at Sheffield Wednesday. And it's just nice to be in this sort of position at the minute. I'd rather not talk to you guys, obviously. I'd rather be on the beach like Sunderland, and hopefully they are anyway on Saturday. But do you know what I mean? It's just where we are at the minute, and it's all down to the start of the season.
Yeah, and I suppose with you guys, James, the way that you started the season, you said there about when you beat us 4-2, you were kind of in like a playoff picture then. So I suppose with this season now and championship status on the line, I suppose how nervous are you? Because I guess out of us four, you guys are technically the safest. But do you view it that way, the fact that you've got Leicester on the final day?
I'm hoping that Leicester have a party right up until Saturday morning at 11:30.
Big hangover.
Yeah, I'm hoping they have a massive hangover. They play their under-18s and just give us constant long goals like a game of FIFA. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I'm trying not to think about it. But come Saturday morning, I will be very nervous. I will be frantically checking my phone. I've made the decision not to go to Leicester. Purely because that if we do go down and they're celebrating to the title, it will really hit me hard. So I'll probably go to find a pub somewhere and try and calm the nerves with alcohol. I would blame the start of our downfall was when we lost away to Sheffield Wednesday 3-1. I would say that was the start of when everything just started going really wrong. And we've just not been able to recover from that. But yeah, we are the safest, but it's Blackburn. Nothing's ever safe with us.
And leading on to the final day, I wanted to ask all you guys about the fixtures that you guys have got. You were saying then about frantically checking your phone, James. Well, Blues are on Sky Sports. So that's going to be absolute chaos for us with Norwich at home on the final day. With all them thousands of people watching it. So that's going to be something. And Sam, I'll start off with you. You guys have got Hull at home. Them guys are going to be chasing playoffs. I think they can still get top six with a win, and if West Brom lose. So from your perspective, how do you view the game?
Yeah, the other thing they could do is if they beat us 7-0 and Norwich failed to win. I don't know who they're playing, but if they beat us 7-0 and Norwich failed to win, they can come above Norwich. So they might go for a few early goals. They're going to be a tough opponent. They're a very good team. A lot of quality. They've got some of the best players in the league in their positions. I think Greaves, who's come through their youth system, made it into the team of the season, didn't he? They've got a couple of very good young players, Morton from Liverpool and Carvalho from there as well. And Billy Sharp is still in their squad, and I think he's been around since I was, you know, goodness knows how small. He's still somehow going. He's not playing very much. But they've got a lot of quad. Philly Jean as well, who's probably one of the best of them, scored an absolutely fantastic goal, didn't he, earlier in the season. So they're a very good attacking team, but with quality in defence as well. I'm not confident that we're going to get a result. I think if they turn up and if they bring their A game, they will at least stop us winning and most likely would beat us. But you never know. Funny things do happen on the last day of the season. Teams get nervous. Funny results happen. A lot of high-scoring games. If Hull do want to go for a big convincing win to aid with the goal difference situation, they might just, you know, throw men forward, leave men, you know, exposed at the back, leave room for us to counter. We are under due slip a counter-attacking team, so there is always that possibility. I think it could be a high-scoring game, either a narrow Hull win or a draw.
And you say there about the fact that Hull have got some of these talented players, like Tyler Morton, Fabio Carvalho, who I think has been fantastic and a class above the championship, really. But with you guys, what's the biggest problem you could cause for Hull?
If Morgan Whittaker and Ryan Hardy regain form, which they've not had for about 10 games, then we can cause a lot of problems. They've been that's not to slag them off too much. They've been the two players who have given us even a chance going into the final day because they've been so good. They've kept us the right side of the dotted line almost to the extent that Swanwick has for Blackburn there. But they've both really suffered with their form. We kind of put a bit of it down to Ian Foster, but even after he's been sacked, they've not really regained their form under Dew Snip. Even in the Leicester win, it was Mustafa Bundu, who's been a bit of a fringe player for us, who scored the goal. And the only other results were obviously the win at Rotherham, which was Bali Mumba's goal, and QPR, we drew 1-1. It was an own goal. We barely had a chance all game. And the last two games, we've not scored and also barely had a chance. So our XG of Dew Snip's tenure is pretty tiny. Probably the defensive side is better than under Foster, but the attacking side hasn't really improved all that much. So the hope is that Hull gives us opportunities by either making mistakes or just pushing so many men forward, they leave us with a chance on the counter-attack. But yeah, as you can probably tell, I'm not feeling the most optimistic about our chances. But if Whittaker and Hardy can regain form just for one game, get a goal or two each, maybe, then who knows, we could pull off an unlikely win.
And you say there'll be a couple goals, Sam. So I've got to ask you what the score prediction is for the game.
Am I tying this in with whether I think we'll stay up or not? Or are we going to dovetail back to that later?
Yeah, we'll do both. We'll do both now. So score prediction, I guess, what that means for everybody.
Sure. I think Ash and James will have quite a relaxing evening because I don't think that us and Birmingham are going to spend that much time leading. I think it's between me and you, Sam, really. I'll say draw 3-3 because I think that they will leave men at the back. As to what that will mean, so obviously if we do draw or if we lose, it's dependent on Birmingham. So here's how I see Birmingham. I think that you've got a lot of quality players. It's a bit of a fluke of personal circumstance and dreadful decision-making appointing Wayne Rooney, which is why you're here. Whether it was the right or wrong decision, sacking Eustace could be debated, but bringing Rooney in was certainly very much the wrong decision. He did terribly. I think he made Ian Foster look competent. Obviously, when you sacked him, you brought in
Make
Tony Mowbray. It'll be awful.
That guy.
Yeah. We brought in Tony Mowbray, and we thought, well, that's just going to be a procession. He'll keep them very safe. Obviously, he had to take leave with illness, which we all, of course, wish him the very best with. Mark Venus, obviously, his assistant, took over for a while, didn't he? And he didn't really do very well. And he took the decision to bring in Gary Rowett, who has strengthened you up, made you hard to beat, not got that many wins. I think he's got a couple of home wins and a few away draws, hasn't he? So Norwich, it's going to come down to, do they feel they're basically safe? Do they maybe not rest players as such, but do they just, subconsciously leave that 20 or 30%? Do they go in full-blooded for tackles? Do they wilt under the pressure of the home crowd roaring Birmingham on? My gut's telling me that you're going to win narrowly. I think you're going to win 2-1, and I think that will send us down. I think we'll draw, you'll win, and we're going down. I hope I'm wrong.
That's some prediction, and I hope for my sake you're right. But obviously, move round to Ash, and I suppose you said there, Sam, about Norwich and the fact that they may rest players with one eye on the playoffs. Rotation could be a thing. And with Sunderland, I suppose it could be a thing as well, because them guys are on the beach, aren't they, as you said earlier, Ash? And yeah. Players that perhaps not been given a chance for a lot of the season may come into the Sunderland side. But for Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, the task for you guys is pretty simple because of the fact that you're out the relegation zone now. So if you win, you're fine. Other results may go for you, so you may not even have to win. But with Sheffield Wednesday, what are the thoughts for you guys going into that game?
Yeah, it's we just need one point. We need a point to be safe no matter what other results go. If we just equal everyone else's results, we're safe. If we don't win and everyone else does win, then yes, we're in trouble there. But Danny Rule in one of his interviews earlier this week was saying we're not just going there for a draw. We are going there to win. It's another game. It's maybe the last game, but it is still just another game, which is great to hear from your manager. I know there's nothing else he can say because we all want him to say we're going there to win. But I do agree with you, Sam, what you just said. I mean, I'm hoping Sunderland, they've not been in the best of form. I do hope they are on the beach. But then if they are and they do bring in players that have not featured, they've got something to prove. They've maybe playing for new contract or putting themselves in the shop window. So in both ways you look at it, I don't think there's, I know we say on the beach and that mentally they may be on the plane to Dubai or wherever they're going to fly out to, but you don't know, because the players that are coming in, they need a job next season, don't they? So if they come in and score a couple of goals, or the goalkeeper comes in and has a blind, there's lots of things. So if Sheffield Wednesday just stick to Danny Rule's plan, what he wants to do, we've got 2,500 going up there. It's, I think, a lot of confidence, Sheffield Wednesday fans. And just looking at other games and the fact that Hull City have still got something to play for, Norwich have still got a place to hang on to, I think that has just put a bit more positivity in Sheffield Wednesday, because if the playoffs were already decided, because that's what we thought with West Brom. We thought when West Brom were coming on Saturday, they'd been in great form. They'd lost a couple, but we thought they're safe in the playoffs already. They'll be resting players in time for the playoffs, and that wasn't it. They needed points. So it's a tough one to call for the thing. I mean, it's not been a happy hunting ground, Sunderland Stadium, like Sheffield Wednesday. Obviously, we lost playoffs there. And then we got 5-0 in the league game away a couple of seasons ago. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw for Wednesday, which will obviously keep us safe. And then we don't have to rely on other results. But I think there is that thing that other teams have got stuff to play for. And I can't say, I mean, Hull were better away from home than they were at home. So they will go out. They've got to. They're just outside the playoffs. They've got to go for it and just hope that one of the other teams falter. So I think I think it's going to be a draw for Wednesday. I think Hull will beat Plymouth.
And the final one?
I think Norwich will draw. I think it'll be 1-1. I think it'll be 1-1, which Norwich will be all right for Norwich. But obviously, unfortunately, that'll send you down, I believe.
We need a win under any circumstance, so that would send us down. And
I think for James, I think there's too many permutations because they've got one extra. So they've obviously got, they're above, so they need everyone to have a great afternoon, which we've all seen it. We've all seen the top lose in a weekend and then all the bottom win. So it's possible, but I think they've, with that draw the other night, I think that was... on Saturday, weren't it? Sorry, apologies. I think that 0-0 draw, just the extra point, done it for him.
Just to quickly jump in, the only other permutation that could keep Birmingham up if they don't win is if they draw and we lose by 5, which is unlikely, but as Hull are maybe going for a 7-goal swing, wouldn't completely rule it out with the attacking quality they've got. You can tell I'm not very confident.
I think that's pretty pessimistic from you, Sam. I can't see that happening. I'm proud of Plymouth. Maybe if Hull were at home, then possibly. But I think because you guys are at home, I can't see that many goals being scored.
You're probably right. But if we're 2 down in 10 minutes, you can bet everyone will be thinking about it if we are.
Because I think there was something similar last week, wasn't there, in League One, where it was Bolton versus Peterborough. And Bolton needed to win by a few goals and they went 2-0 up inside like the first 10 minutes at Peterborough. It's just a bit crazy.
I think it was a four goals when you needed.
So they were still going for that. And I think that game ended up being loads of goals. But as you rightly said, Ash, there's a lot of things that need to kind of go right for the other teams for then Blackburn to get sucked into it. So for you, James, you said about the fact that you're going to take yourself to the pub, look at your phone every now and then about the scores and then try and forget about it. But for you guys, what is your, I guess, prediction for the Leicester game? Because, as you said, Leicester now champions of the Championship. They may have had a few drinks the night before. I guess that's what you're hoping for. So, yeah, what are your take on the game?
Just don't lose, really. That would be my message. Just don't lose. We could play now at the back of one, doing these schmonics on there on his own. We just don't lose. I think we'll go for a 0-0 and try and counter on a 1-0. I think that'll be what we do. I think Sheffield Wednesday will draw. I think Plymouth will win narrowly. And I also think Birmingham will win narrowly. So,
wow.
I just want it to be interesting, as long as we're not getting sucked into it by the 85th minute.
That is very interesting. And I remember actually, like, way back when we were in a relegation battle, one of our many relegation battles, it was between us, Blackburn, and Nottingham Forest. I think it was the 16-17 season when Tony Mowbray was your manager. And every team that day won, didn't they? Because we beat Bristol City, then Nottingham Forest won their game, and then you guys won your game as well. So it could happen, couldn't it?
It could. I hope, on the back of that, I hope to never see Huddersfield in the Championship again, because they played a very weakened side that day, which ultimately sent us down. So, really, I'm hoping I never see them again.
Mm.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. We speak about home crowds, and their home crowd wasn't too big for our game against them. The massive game where I think there was like half the ground full, and they had these like inflatable clappers or whatever. Yeah. And I think there was Huddersfield Town fans saying themselves in the comments, like, as soon as you saw that, we knew we were getting relegated. So I guess that's the way that things work when home crowds play such a big part in it. But we're going to lead on now to some Q&A questions from the guys watching on. And thank you so much to everybody that's watching at the moment. I think I can see in the top left corner there that on all platforms, we have over 1,000 live viewers. So thank you so much for all your support and watching on. It's been a fantastic show so far. And I'm not sure if Adam's going to bring up any questions now. Just go ahead, Adam, just put them up on the screen if you see anything that you like and want to put on. But I suppose with Birmingham, I suppose I should speak a bit about our situation, because I've said about all of you guys' situation and us being in the relegation zone. Obviously, we're the team that's in the most danger at the moment. I think it was you, James, that sent that video in the WhatsApp chat about the Top Gear and all the survival stuff going on with the labels and that. And if you haven't seen that video on Twitter, please check it out, because it's fantastic. And with Birmingham, we're going to be balancing all kinds of permutations, and it's going to be one hell of a day. The fact we're on Sky Sports as well. And Blues fans, just send in your comments about what you think is going to happen, because it seems to be that Blues do turn up on the final day. But this season, there's just been a lot of things that have happened that I've not seen before, where it comes to, you know, games where on paper we should win and we just don't. Say, for instance, the Rotherham game, that was a 0-0. A game where we could have done with 3 points, in Huddersfield as well, where we didn't pick up 3 points there. And I'm going to have a look at some of the comments now to bring up some quotes, Sam, if I can.
What I will say is that if you do go down, and hopefully Tony Mowbray makes a full recovery, he is probably the best person you can have to bring you straight back up. Because that League One season we had with Mowbray, it was, apart from that season, that was the best season I've ever had supporting Blackburn. I've been going 20-odd years, and that was the best season I've ever had.
Because I think the club just buys into Mowbray, and so do the fans as well. Yeah, and when he came in, it was just such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, he speaks well, he gets it. But yeah, if you do go down, he's the best person to bring you back up, and I am sure you'll come back up straight away.
Yeah, and we're wishing Tony Mowbray all the best as well in his recovery. And looking at the bottom comment there, comment from Neil, I guess, directed towards you, Ash. Sheffield Wednesday dark horses for 24-25 in dark horses. Are we talking promotion?
I hope he means Championship, not League One. there's a lot of things that have to go in the right way for Sheffield Wednesday to be that. And the main one, and I said it before, is the owner. If the owner just stays out of it, gives some money, lets Danny Rowe, which I'm hoping that he still stays, gives him the money, the backing, and whatever he wants and tries, then yeah, why not? We're fourth, I think, since Christmas. I think we're fourth in the form table with the most points. So it's there. It's the struggle's been there this season. It will put a great backing in for next season. And he's not a newcomer now. Everyone will be seeing and heard of Danny Rule and what he's done. So, 24-25, who knows? Who knows?
Mm. Yeah, and he's only boosted his CV, isn't he, by what he's done at Sheffield Wednesday. And the fact that also he's had Chris Howe with him as an assistant manager, someone that knows the league, I think that's helped a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. No doubt behind the scenes that he's played a massive part. And he's another one. All the backroom staff have really played their part, and it's just shown on the pitch.
And we see here Gary's thoughts about Blackburn giving Sheffield Wednesday all them tickets for the away game. And going back to that game, I suppose that mistake by Pears and that moment where you just think that he's going to kick through the ball and he doesn't. And that even little things like that can change fortunes. And I suppose for you guys, like, have you seen anything this season where it's like a thing that's happened where you've gone, if that would have gone our way, then we definitely wouldn't be in the situation, or oh, if this would have happened to us, we'd definitely be down by now. I guess I'll start with you first, James. Like refereeing decisions or anything like that you look back on and go, oh, we could have had an extra couple points if this went our way.
I can from last season. I can think of plenty, but not this season. Like I said, because there's so much stuff that's gone on off the field, I've almost forgotten about everything that's happened on the field. So at the top of my mind, I can't think of any sort of refereeing decision that's gone against us. Obviously, we all know everyone's thoughts on referees in the Premier League and the EFL.
Yes.
But going back to the YouTube comment, if you want to know what Blackburn's thinking was behind giving Sheffield Wednesday fans 7,000 tickets, you should go and see Steve Waggett in his money bath. that's where he'll be.
There were some real comments from the Blackburn Rovers, obviously a couple of days leading up to the game, because I think they put on a bit of a £15 thing for the Sheffield Wednesday away fans, where they could go in a little suite with a pie and a drink.
Yeah,
and
they could.
Actually, it was brilliant, like a home game. Will Vault was right, but he must have just seen the pound signs, because there's no way in anybody and any would expect your team, for a relegation rival, which we were at the time, to be able to bring that many. We had the same with Stoke. Stoke came and they had the bottom half of the West Stand, which is usually never used or for home fans when we get packed out. And we gave Stoke an extra 1,000 tickets, and it's like, why? And
Steve Waggett is, he sees money signs. He has no ambition. He just sees dollar signs in his eyes. That is literally it. He's only a small, tiny part of the problem that we have here with our ownership. I'm not going to go into our ownership, because we'll be here till tomorrow morning, and I'd end up educating everybody on Indian tax law. So, yeah, he just sees money signs. It was a stupid idea. He probably won't learn from it. He'll probably do it again next season if we're in the same boat or in a different or a promotion, which we won't be. But if we're in a similar situation next season, he'll probably do it again. It was a stupid idea.
Blues fans can say a lot about ownership, especially the previous regime, which was quite something. And I've got a question here below for me. Does Sam Blues think your experience in the relegation battles aid you over Argyle on the final day? Well, yes and no, because I think in terms of the fan base has seen a lot of relegation battles, but with personnel on the pitch, it's quite different to years gone by. I think of players that have been involved in relegation battles for us in the past that are still here. So Lukas Jukovic, who has been an absolute saviour for us in the past and have fallen in a lot of team sides where they've been around us, and you just look at your phone, you see that Juki scored, and he always seems to turn up around this time of the season. But unfortunately for us, he's been out injured. And he came back for the Huddersfield game for a brief cameo off the bench, but he was so heavily taped up that it just wasn't Juki at 100%. And the fact that he's in his mid-30s now as well, it's not quite the same player. And I look at other players that have been involved in relegation battles for us in the past. You've got Mark Roberts, but he's out at the moment. And Blues fans, I don't think, would want to see him in the starting 11 for the game, put it that way. And there's other personnel that perhaps have been other clubs in relegation battles, but not Blues. But going on to you, Sam, is there players for you that have been in relegation battles that you know of? Obviously, because of Plymouth's recent successes, perhaps there's not that in your team, but maybe there is?
No, not really, because our team is a mixture of players who come up the leagues through us. Obviously, Hardy, Joe Edwards, Mike Cooper, goalkeeper Adam Randall came up through the youth. And then the players we have signed, either in the summer just gone or in January, there's not been a great many who've had Championship experience. I think Lewis Gibson played a few games in the Championship. Plegafuelo, the Spanish defender, came over from the Dutch League. Like I mentioned, we had the sort of January influx of young loan players. Alfie Devine from Tottenham, Ashley Phillips from Tottenham. They're not really you know, players with a great deal of experience of men's football at all, never mind relegation. And you can tell in the way they play at times. Not that I think these players are entirely about talent, because I think they do have talent, but you can tell in some of the rashness of the decision-making, the sort of emotional behaviour on the pitch, that they're not, you know, they're not used to the men's game, shall we say. Therefore, from that, I don't, that's part of why I'm a little bit pessimistic. I don't think that there's going to be that sort of nerve, that sort of calming of the nerves, shall we say, under pressure. If we're in that situation where Birmingham are 2 or 3 nil up, and we're defending a 1-0 lead narrowly, I don't have a lot of faith that we'd hold that lead going into the last 5-10 minutes of the game, because I do think that we're a little bit fragile mentally. Not entirely so. We did hold out to beat Leicester, and that was a great win. But there's been a lot of other games where I've just felt worried for us in that regard. So obviously, look, like you say, Birmingham, the squad doesn't have a great deal of experience being down there, but obviously nor do we either.
Yeah, and I think you're right to bring up the fact that some of the players may be a bit flaky in these situations, because with Birmingham, I think that's been the thing for us this season, where we haven't had the experience to see out games, because the amount of points we've dropped from goals conceded after the 80th minute has just been absolutely crazy this season. But we've got another question down here for you, Sam. So, Argyle Life, if we do go down, do you think we may flirt with relegation to League Two, or is a standard mid-table finish?
Blimey, he's cheery, isn't he? look, I am frustrated with a lot of the decisions made at the boardroom and certainly by the director of football, because like I said in my opening gambit, I feel it is a little bit unnecessary that we're in this position. So, look, football's a funny game. If the bad decision-making continues, then I guess anything in theory is possible. And if we get the appointment wrong, if we get the recruitment wrong, because let's be honest, Whittaker's going this summer. Maybe one or two will join him. Hardy might join him out the door. Cooper might join him out the door. But Whittaker's pretty much nailed on to go. So if the recruitment is wrong and we get the appointment wrong, yes, there's a possibility that could happen. But I don't think so. I think in it, League One is looking a relatively weaker league. I think we've had a lot of sort of natural readdressing of the balance in club in terms of club size, budget size. Teams are sort of edging more back towards the level that they've played most of their you know, professional time at. Pompey going up, Derby going up. And then even if you look at League Two, Stockport, Mansfield, Wrexham coming up, the bigger spending clubs are more graduated towards the natural level. It's not like back in the days where League Two had Portsmouth, Argyle, Bolton, you know, numerous big high spending clubs in League Two, even. There is that little bit more readdressing. So, yeah, as I said earlier, I think if we do go down, we'd have a very good chance of being top six. I wouldn't entirely rule out even top two. I think top six would have to be the minimum expectation. Could if things go badly wrong, we fall into mid-table? Or could we even be in the fight to go down again? Yes, it's possible, but things would have to go really badly south for that to happen. And I hope I'm not here in a year's time on a League One relegation podcast going into the final day of League One. And I hope I've not tempted fate by saying that, but I'd be astonished if I was.
I'm sure you won't be, Sam. And we've got a comment here regarding Blackburn. So what do Blackburn think of John Eustace? Because we love them as fans. You said about it earlier, James, about the fact that John Eustace has come to the club and not really set the world alight. But I guess the factors that Blues fans liked about John Eustace is that he had his team organised, set up, and playing in a way that the Blues fans could get behind, you know, knowing the strengths of the players. So do you think with John Eustace, he knows the strength of your team?
No.
Or is it just kind of crisis management for now, like keep you afloat and then reassess?
I think it's a case of crisis management, get the job done, reevaluate in the summer. I'm not convinced. And maybe after Yondal, my expectations were too high, because Yondal, I believe, we're managing the Prem one day. I think he was a very good tactical manager. I think his man management skills were way off it, though. A lot of players came out and criticised him and the way he did things after he left. But going back to John Eustace, I think after the battering of Bristol City 5-0, I said to my mate, I said, he looks like a PE teacher that's won a competition. And I thought, I thought he was completely out of his depth. And then we go and put in a resolute performance against Southampton, and then we beat Leeds, and then we don't put in a good performance against Sheffield Wednesday. And it's one of them. There's a lot of inconsistencies, but I do appreciate that this is not his squad, and it's not the players that he wants So I am all for giving him time, and I will hopefully we can reevaluate, we can have a good summer. I mean we're going to have a really good summer either way, even if we go down or stay up. We're going to have a really good summer. Probably have to get 10 new signings. It's that big for us. So I'll reserve judgment until first international break of next season. But he has showed us up in the back, but I think we've lost a little bit of flair, shall we say, up top. He's a perfect fit for the Venkies. He's a bit of a yes man. He won't really shed light of anything that's going on. But as John Dahl did, he wasn't afraid to say what was going on. He always thought that the fans need to be in the know, which he was in his right to do. So I think Eustace is a bit of a yes man. I think he's a perfect fit for Venkies personally. We'll see what happens. But he has certainly tightened us up at the back. But yeah, lost a bit of flair.
Because I think with Eustace, like the situation at Venkies was kind of situation to the Truman Trophy Asia at Birmingham, where that was really at the height of the chaos with that board and the fact that they just weren't running the club properly. And Eustace was put in charge. I think up until that point, he hadn't had an EFL job before. I think his only head coach role was at Kidderminster Harriers. Yeah, Kidderminster Harriers, which is just crazy to think. And then all of a sudden he was put in charge of Birmingham, and that whole PE teacher won a prize thing. I remember thinking that early on in the season, because we played Wigan at home and that day were absolutely horrendous. I mean, the personnel on the pitch that day wasn't good. Wigan went down to 10 men really early and we lost 1-0. And I was thinking this could be a really long season. Then Eustace had actually turned things around. It was our best points tally in 7 seasons. So
yeah.
I'm sure with Eustace, if you give it time, get in personnel. I think you guys are even linked with John Ruddy because he's out of contract in the summer.
Yeah,
so he could be a keeper that comes in for you.
We need a keeper because I can't spend another season watching him as a player, to be honest. My hope is that if whoever goes down, we can maybe do a little bit of a raid. And that sounds horrible, but maybe do a little bit of a raid, get some players on a cut price deal. Hopefully we can spend some of the Adam Walton money. If Schmodic scores, which I fully expect he does, I'll have to let him out of my basement for a medical. So I expect him to go. So I hope we can spend a little bit of the money. I hope we can just spend it, go and have a summer where we spend a bit of money and we don't just rely on loans and frees, because it's not a sustainable way to carry on.
Because there may not be a raid at Birmingham next season from Blackburn, but I know we've got 15 players out of contract, so I could see one or two Birmingham players ended up in Blackburn shirts next season. And looping back round to you.
We'll take Siriki Dembele off if you want.
Well, Dembele doesn't even get in our starting 11 anymore, I don't even know what's happening with that, but I'm sure we'll leave that to Mobley next season. He could get something out of him, especially in League One. That could be really dangerous.
He always wanted him at Blackburn.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of Championship clubs in for him, but looping back around to you, Ash, here at the bottom, how confident are you that Rolf stays, or are you worried that someone else could come in for him? Because I guess with this question, it all relies on the ownership, doesn't it? Whether he's given that security because of the chaos, the ownership. Obviously, we know how good of a manager he is, but if there's something that's promised to him that is more lucrative in terms of money or like personnel, we could see a switch. But obviously, I imagine you'd be holding on for dear life with Danny Rowe.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, of course. Yeah. on the question, Tam, 100%, it's the owner. We saw what it was like in summer last year, where just out of the blue, Darren Moore left out of the blue, didn't think he was going to be leaving. So I think there's going to be talks. There has been talks, I believe, between the owner and Danny Rowe about plans for next season. And I'm sure if the owner gives Danny what he's expecting, what he wants, then he'll stay, because he's doing a great job. In all his interviews, he says he loves Sheffield, which is great to hear. His family come over now and again as well to see him, so he's settled. There's always the worry when your manager, whoever you are, comes in. We've seen it with Schumacher at Plymouth. I'm sure Kieran McKenna as well, doing a cracking job at Ipswich. I'm sure someone will take a punt on him as well. Yeah, I am very worried, to be honest. I am. But I'm hoping, we stay up. I'm confident we'll stay up, but I'm hoping that the owner, as a someone's took over his body and an alien has took him, and he's making some sensible decisions of for the club, for the fans, for the team, and for Danny Rule as well. So, yeah, always in the back of your mind, there's always going to be that. And Sunderland were supposed to be sniffing a few weeks ago around him, but I think that may have just been a bit of, obviously, media talk. He's settled. He's got a job to do. It'd be great if he can go and beat him on Saturday as well. It's there, but I'm not worried. It's probably just a bit too easy.
Speaking of Sunderland, sorry to interrupt, Ryan Moore, Preston manager, has just dropped into favourites for that job. And I know quite a few Preston fans, and they absolutely despise him.
He was the manager of Argyle before yes. Schumacher, and odd one now. He's done okay at Preston. I wouldn't have thought he'd done well enough to get poached with, you know, by Sunderland. Not when they're looking at managers like Danny Roll or Will Still is another one they've been linked with. They've been looking at all these, you know, exciting appointments from all over Europe, and they're going to hire someone who's had a couple of years mid table with Preston. And who their fans don't even like. That would be a bit of an odd one, but could happen. I suppose he's not done bad relating to budget, at least. So yeah, could happen.
Because I think with Ryan Lowe, like as you said, Sammy, he was manager of Plymouth and then moved on to Preston. And I suppose with someone like that, there could be a bit of championship experience. But I think with Danny Roll's appointment this season, it's been so interesting. And I think another situation that's been similar to Sheffield Wednesday's at QPR, because they were written off. Obviously, they had Ainsworth in charge there. Not many people thought they were going to do anything this season. And all of a sudden, Marty Cifuentes comes in, young manager of new ideas, hadn't managed in the championship before and done fantastically. So I suppose I put Cifuentes in the similar bracket to Danny Roll for not only their capabilities as a manager, but the jobs they've done. Because I think with the job that Danny Roll's done, Ash, would you say that he could potentially be a candidate for even manager of the season if he keeps Sheffield Wednesday up? Or is that too far? I know we love Danny Roll.
No, for me, yes. But there is the thing of obviously looks like, I think Ipswich are winning against Coventry. So it does look like they're going to go up. So any manager, McKenna, that's done that on, he has spent a little bit of money, but it's a great job, he's done. So I would love Danny Roll to get it if everything goes all right Saturday. I would love that. I just think McKenna's done a fantastic job at Ipswich. It pains me to say that, but yeah.
Speaking of Ipswich again, sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
Lewis Travis, obviously our club captain who we sent out, he could be the first player to get relegated and also promoted in the same season.
Wow, that is crazy, isn't it? Like, because
he could be the first player to captain a League One club when he was promoted the season before.
And for those of you not reading the comments, they are winning 1-0 currently live in real time as we are recording. They've just taken the lead at Coventry, so they're looking very good for promotion as it stands.
Yeah, there you go. Ipswich winning at Cov. Fair play George to them first. Because the season that they're playing is fantastic.
Don't with that name.
Gives you shivers down your spine, Ash.
It does, yeah. George Hurst, yeah, it does. Absolute hero of a father, but I'll not repeat the next line of the song because you said not to swear.
Yeah, I think we were mentioned about swearing with Adam before we started. But I look at the live views you have at the moment across all platforms, 1,153, which is absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure that everybody wants to share their opinions and their comments about the teams and the future of what could happen. And I suppose this Saturday it's going to be so like nerve jangling. So the fact that I've now got opinions of everybody, know where everybody's head's at, it actually makes me feel a bit more calm about the situation, weirdly enough, because knowing that, you know, what each team's got to play for and what their capabilities are, I guess. And it's been a fantastic chat. I'm sure we'll have a couple more questions that come in before we wrap up.
Question for you, Sam. Do you think Birmingham will go down?
That is very much head versus heart, because I cannot say, like Sam did, I can't predict my team to go down. I just can't do it, because I remember the last relegation I watched as a Birmingham fan. It was in 2011, and it was on the final day of the Premier League, and there was about six or seven teams that could have gone down that day. Absolutely crazy. And it was the season when Blackpool were in the Premier League. I think Wolves were in and around there. Blackburn were there as well, actually. You guys were playing Wolves. And I don't know if you remember that day, James. It was the 2010-11 season. And I think you guys won 3-2 in the end.
Yes, we did. I think we went down the season after.
Yeah, yeah. And that season was my first taste of relegation, the same season that we won the League Cup, which is just so Blues. it's so Blues, it's unbelievable. And I remember watching that as like a 9-10-year-old kid getting relegated against Tottenham and thinking, this is the absolute worst feeling. And being in this situation now, sort of 13 years later, I'm just hoping that doesn't come, because relegation just, it means a lot, doesn't it? Because I imagine if two teams do get relegated from the Championship, there could be a loss of staff, obviously players depart and all that stuff. So with relegation, because I'm trying to think of the, out of the four of us, the most recent relegation, I think it was Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't it, Ash? The most recent one out of all of us to be relegated.
Yes.
Mm, because what did you feel like when Sheffield Wednesday were relegated from the Championship initially?
Well, it was the last game of the season against Derby. It was pretty kicking the nether regions, isn't it? Always is.
When was that pandemic times? Down. When yes. There was, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was 2021, 22. 21, sorry. Yeah, it's horrible. No team, no supporter. Doesn't matter what league you're in, if you're in the Northern Counties, if you're the Premier League, or if you're in the Dog and Duck League, or Scotland. If you get relegated, it's not nice, and it lives with you for a fair few seasons. Of course it does. Sheffield Wednesday got relegated from the old League One, 89-90, on goal difference. And even this week, a lot of Wednesday fans that are of that era are talking about that because of didn't really think we're going to go down, and then ended up going down on goal difference. It's going to be Saturday. Everyone in these four clubs, and even Huddersfield, I know they're not here, but they're still mathematically, I know they need a fair few goal swing.
Yeah, it has to be a big swing, bigger than the swing in Sam's game.
it does have to be a massive one, but it's... I don't know. It's going to be great. It's going to be... For the neutral, Bristol City, there we are. Bristol City fans will be looking at the bottom, this will be a great Saturday because they're not involved at all, but for us guys, it's going to be nailed by...
It must be boring to play in Bristol City. Just constantly miss March, and they don't have to worry about anything.
And I suppose, like, when I look at all the different teams playing, you look at narratives that could play out, say for instance with the game that you've got, Ash, with Sunderland having Joe Bellingham. It'd be very funny if Joe Bellingham scored a goal to keep Birmingham in the Championship. And With Plymouth as well, you've got Jay Stansfield, who's obviously loves Exeter, plays up front for us, and this season he scored in both the games against Plymouth. And you look at like kind of the narrative, Sam. What kind of narrative do you see playing out perhaps with Plymouth when you look at some of the results that go on? Is there something that's like written in the stars for the day that you think, oh, it'd be so typical if this happened today?
I think whatever happens, apart from the unlikely event where we both stay up and one of the two other guys suffers a relegation, if it's either Birmingham or Argyle that go down, one of two games is going to be very memorable. It's either going to be the 96th-minute winner by Sam showed up at St Andrews in the early days of the season, which gave Birmingham an extra 2 points, or it's going to be us pulling it back from 3-1 down at Home Park to draw 3-3. So one of those two games would have ended up deciding the season, one way or the other. Jay Stansfield, there's been a lot of acrimony between him and Argyle fans. Obviously, when he scored the goal to put you guys into the lead at Home Park, he unveiled that T-shirt, always red, which I... just out of interest, what did you guys think about that? Because if that were me, if I were a Birmingham fan, or if I were Wayne Rooney managing you at the time, I would have kind of thought, hang on a minute, focus on the here and now a bit on the team rather than trying to goad and get one up would have been my thinking. But I mean, what was the sort of view on that from your fans? Did they find it funny? Did they not find it funny? Or
Well, obviously, I'm interested, really, at that point, we were in a real downturn of form, so we just needed the 3 points on the board. But I suppose when you look at Jay Stansfield next to the affiliation he's got with that club, the fact that his dad has got a stand dedicated to him, you know, at Exeter, I think something like that, you can excuse it because of what the club means to him and the fact that he is probably our best player this season as well. So Jay Stansfield is someone that can definitely be excused.
Oh, he's a cracking player. He's an absolutely cracking player, isn't he? I know he had a bit of a
championship fans player at the end season, of the...
No, I know he had a bit of a spat with your fans at the end of the Huddersfield game as well, didn't he? Which he's come out and apologised for. But
he's a quality frustration, player. But he's not to blame for it at all. I think a lot of Blues fans think the same things. Put it in the comments that he's ultimately one of the guys that I believe cares about the situation that we're in and really does. And I think that kind of lashing out, as we call it, is just him showing his emotion because he's emotionally invested in it. And he's still a young guy, so...
Yeah,
I can completely understand.
And a lot of Argyle fans giving him stick, so I suppose he's justified to turn around and give it back to some extent. So, yeah, that narrative of either one of those games, whether that, you know, if we go down, it'll be, oh, you know, that 96th minute winner up at St Andrews when you beat us, or if you go down, it'll be, hang on a minute, you know, you were 3-1 up, we pulled it back to 3-3, and that draws kept us in the league. So one of those two games will be the narrative deciding game. And obviously, I certainly, from my point of view, hope it's the latter rather than the former. But yeah, it's interesting how it'll so closely go down to one game or another in that instance.
Yeah, and this is the one game that it comes down to. So to wrap things up, I'll go around one more time with the predictions about who's going to go down. So Sam, you're saying that Blues will win and it'll be a 3-3 in your game, so that means you guys will
so I think we'll go game. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, but I my honest opinion, I think we will go.
Okay, and Ash, you said Blues to go down with other results. What were you saying for the Sheffield Wednesday game?
I said a draw for us, that obviously makes us clear of any other things, but I think Birmingham will go down, and I've said this on other shows before, and nothing against you, Sam, but I hope they do go down with the way they treat their previous manager before Rooney. And I think that was just the positioning that you were in the league. Sixth, I think. Was it sixth?
Yes, when you sacked.
I think that's just... It's just one of them things that you just think of the owners. Yes, they've come in with the money and the names and they want their own thing, but it's all right sacking a player when you manager when you're 24th, 23rd, but not when you've had a great start. And I just think you don't treat someone like that, do you? So, unfortunately for you, Sam, I'm going to say Birmingham to be relegated.
So, you've got one for Plymouth, one for Birmingham. James, where is your vote going? Because the matter for you for Blackburn is don't lose, but what's going to happen with everyone else?
I do think it'll be Birmingham that go down, unfortunately. But I do think you'll absolutely romp League One and come straight back up.
With Mowbray and Will, which is gives you one of the happiest times. So.
Yeah. Like I said, if you didn't have Mowbray, then I'd be more... And you did go down, I'd be more concerned. But the fact you've got Mowbray and the feel-good factor he brings to a club, I think you would come straight back up. And yeah, I don't think you'd have any issues.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Sam? Who do you reckon will go?
Well, I just can't say Birmingham. I can't bring myself to do it. So I guess in this situation, I'm going to say Plymouth to make it 2-2. I know it sounds a bit strange having 2-2 in this situation where you kind of want that decisive answer. But I'm going with Plymouth because I think that in my heart, I've seen it before with Birmingham in this situation. I'm just hoping that the home crowd can pull us through it because we've seen it before. Like we had an incident roundabout, I think it was 2018, when we beat Fulham on the final day to stay up and they were going for automatic promotion on the day and they were on a 25-26 game unbeaten run. Something ridiculous like that. And we absolutely trounced them. You know, we beat them 3-1. It was really convincing. So I'm hoping that something like that happens in our game and David Wagner rotates because... Yeah, it's going to be one nerve-wracking day. But thank you so much to you guys for joining and speaking to us because we've got an absolutely amazing audience here. We've got 1,189 at the moment. So, yeah, thank you so much to you guys. And just we'll go around one more time to shout out all your social medias and what's happening on your channel. So, first of all, you, Sam.
As you can see along the screen, we are Argyle Life 1886. We're a fan-run website, podcast. We do a bit of everything. We do written content. and YouTube content, and sometimes Twitter spaces as well. Anything Argyle, if you're bored, if you're a Hull fan, or if you're a fan of Edit Birmingham or Wednesday, and you want to get a sense on Argyle, have a look at us, have a listen to some of our recent podcasts. We've got quite a lot of stuff on there, and we'll be doing a live post match after the Hull game, probably on the Sunday. If you want to come on that and either mock us or commiserate your own relegation, you're more than welcome to come on and join us.
Right, brilliant. Thank you so much, Sam. And for you, Ash, with your guys Wednesday week, what's happening with you in the final day? Is there anything that's going to be released on the day or after the day?
No, I think we're maybe Sunday night. Maybe we'll do some. We usually have a Monday. Our weekly goes out on Monday, but with it being bank holiday, some of us will probably not be fit enough to record, and making good of the day off. But other than that, we'll have a review show with a Sunderland supporter coming out. So, previewing that. And then we do part of a Yorkshire Rivals as well. So we've got Leeds, Huddersfield, Rotherham and Huddersfield. Oh, that's it, I think. Hull. And we do a podcast on Thursday talking about all things in the Championship. So, yeah, we've got that as well. So, loads of stuff going on. So, yeah, it's all good. And it brilliant. Will, hopefully, so it will much. Be anyway. End of Saturday, keep saying.
Yeah, I think you guys will be fine, honestly. And round off with you, James. What's going on with your social medias? And is there any content released around the final day?
I believe there will be some content released in and before the game. We'll probably do an end of season roundup as well, hopefully next week or the week after. Social media handle is at brfcs.com. Proper tongue twister. Articles, podcasts, if you want to learn about Indian tax law, brfcs.com is the place to go. There'll be loads of stuff going out before and after the season, and hopefully it's a happy ending.
Right, brilliant, fantastic. Thank you so much to you guys for chatting with me. I'm sure everyone else has enjoyed it by the audience that we've got. And just make sure to keep across all the Blues Focus social medias for updates on the days. I'm sure there'll be plenty of them. I'm sure Tommy will have a vlog as well for the final day. So any opposing fans that want to see what happens at Birmingham will either be laughing or crying, put it that way. It could either be tears of joy or tears of sadness. So regardless, it's going to be a frantic day and I'm sure entertaining to view. So look out for that and make sure to like, share, comment, subscribe. And most importantly, keep right on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.